Pittsburgh Pop for this week, Tim Benz and Rob Owen, your weekly slice of pop culture here at Trib Live. Rob from TV Talk, TV Q&A, me, Tim Benz from Breakfast with Benz. You can read Rob Owen and the Trib in those two sections, and you can listen to us weekly here at the Pittsburgh Pop podcast. And wow, what a day in national media today. Lots of news. Firings at ESPN, at CNN, at Fox, Don Lemon at CNN. Then you've also got Tucker Carlson at Fox. Today was the first of what could be up to three rounds of layoffs at ESPN. No one of note on the on-air side that I've seen yet. Mike Soltes, who is a longtime PR guy with ESPN, 43 years, in fact, he was let go. And a lot of the on-air folks that have dealt with him have tweeted and talked about that. But for sports fans, maybe not the most readily accessible and known name, but apparently that's going to change. And it looks like there will be some people from the on-air side that'll be let go eventually. Rob, why is all this happening today with these three networks?
Well, I think to some degree it's coincidence, but it does go to a larger issue that's impacting media as a whole with Disney, because the layoffs at ESPN are part of a larger round of layoffs at Disney proper. So I'm like, worried for all the folks I know in media relations there and whether they're gonna get the axe. The Disney thing is because, you know, they're pouring all this money into Disney Plus. It's not turning a profit. So they're trying to boost the company in the eyes of Wall Street. And one way to do that is through layoffs, unfortunately. So that I think is the reason for what's going on at Disney. As far as the Don Lemon and the Tucker Carlson situation, those are different pieces. Certainly, yes, both companies can save on a hefty salary by getting rid of both of those guys. But the Tucker Carlson thing, one might think it's related to the Dominion lawsuit that Fox paid $800 million to settle last week. And my understanding is it was not a piece of part of the settlement that they would have to fire Tucker Carlson. That is not the case, I have read. But evidently, the stuff that came out in the discovery of that lawsuit revealed some pointed things that Tucker Carlson said about Fox News management. Now, honestly, the stuff I read didn't strike me as that pointed, particularly from someone you're paying to be a commentator, but that's what the Washington Post reporting says his firing was about. I feel like there has to be more to it than that, but that's all that's come out thus far. As far as Don Lemon goes, he has a track record of saying not great things. And I think it just became untenable, particularly since they moved him to the morning show and they paired him with these two other anchors. And I think that has just not been working. So I'm honestly less surprised to see Don Lemon go than I am Tucker Carlson go.
Which network do you think will be most affected by these two departures?
I think CNN would be less impacted just because they're kind of already in the basement ratings wise. I don't think Don Lemon's move from primetime to mornings did the network any favor. So if he's not going to be in primetime, getting rid of him in mornings, I don't think is going to hurt them as much. Fox News, I mean, Tucker Carlson was a huge star there. So I feel like that has the potential to take the bigger hit. Now, we all said that, you know, Fox News was over when they got rid of Bill O'Reilly, and, you know, that was not true. So I am not going to say that Fox News is over because Tucker Carlson is gone. But could, if he gets picked up by Newsmax or OAN, certainly that could be somewhat damaging to Fox down the road, but it's still the 800-pound gorilla when it comes to conservative talk cable. So I don't think this is the beginning of the end for Fox.
Well, I was just going to ask that. Is there any sort of indication that this represents some sort of sea change when it comes to philosophy or programming or tone for Fox News?
Well, I don't know. I've read some stuff online suggesting that maybe Fox is trying to move back in a more traditional Republican as opposed to crazy pants Republican direction. I'm not sure if that's what's happening. The Washington Post report suggested that it was because of that, what his commentary about Fox executives, which I don't know if true, that seems those folks are pretty thin skinned, but I don't know.
Well, we'll keep an eye on that. And yeah, we'll definitely keep an eye on what ESPN does when it comes to its programming decisions.
Well, and that could also, the ESPN stuff, because it's Disney-wide, that could also affect ABC News. So just as we're watching to see if any on-air folks from ESPN are disappeared, I will be curious to see if any on-air folks from ABC News are let go.
How about CBS and NBC? You heard anything about them?
Well, at NBC, there was a big departure over the weekend. Jeff Shell, who was the CEO, I think, of NBC Universal, got ousted after an affair with a CNBC reporter. So that is kind of a big deal there, just in terms of being leaderless at a time when, you know, they're really trying to make Peacock happen. That was the big news out of NBC over the weekend. Again, like the guy from ESPN, more of a behind the scenes thing, but in terms of media circles, a pretty big deal.
All right, let's get to some other conversations then, Robin. We'll keep people up to date on that. If anything happens between now and next week when we reconvene, we'll certainly bring it up. But on happier topics, how about Carol Burnett on the topic of NBC, the Carol Burnett 90th birthday? Is this going to be like an old school kind of Carol Burnett-ish kind of special? Are they going to do it up that way?
Well, she's not participating in any skits. That was one of the questions I asked her when I interviewed her about a month ago for the story that's up on Trib Live now and was in print on Sunday. But they are showing a lot of clips from her career, including from the Carol Burnett Show. There are also going to be some tributes, including she played Miss Hannigan in the Annie movie in 1981 or two, I think. And so there's a tribute to that that Billy Porter is participating in. He plays Rooster in the sketch with Bernadette Peters and I can't remember the other person. It's in my story though. But there, so there'll be some tributes. There'll be lots of clips. I think her Better Call Saul co-stars were in attendance at the taping, so there might be some clips from that even. Alas, my very favorite Carol Burnett production is not included. Do you, by any chance, Tim, remember Fresno?
No, but I feel like I should.
Yeah, it was a big bomb on CBS in the mid-80s. It was a comedy miniseries that was a parody of Dallas and Dynasty, and Carol Burnett was the head of, instead of an oil empire, a raisin empire in Fresno, California. Dabney Coleman was in it. Gregory Harrison was in it. It was really funny, and I loved it, and I was hoping that it might get a shout out, but alas, it is not.
So this is the mid-80s at the height of the California Raisins.
You know,
little cartoon characters.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I would have to look at it. This was 86. I'm not sure the California Raisins, what year did they come out?
That feels like it fits.
87. So it was a little bit before. It was a year earlier, because I'm pretty sure Fresno was 86. So, but all in the same ballpark, yes.
What are you hearing about Love and Death on HBO Max?
Yes. So this is, I went to watch this because it's got Elizabeth Olsen from WandaVision, who I loved in WandaVision. I think you did too, right?
No, I didn't watch WandaVision.
Oh, you didn't watch WandaVision? Okay, I was thinking you had. She's really good in WandaVision, and she's done some other work, but that's where I mostly know her from. This is a true crime miniseries written by David E. Kelly. So I started watching it, and I thought it was all right. I think it's way too long. I think it's 7 episodes, and it should have been less than that. But in the midst of watching it, I discovered Hulu did their own version of the exact same story last year with Jessica Biel, and theirs was called Candy, which is the name of the character Elizabeth Olsen plays. So then I went back and watched some of Candy to sort of see how it's similar or different. Honestly, if you watched Candy, you can skip Love and Death. If you didn't watch Candy and you like true crime, this is probably good because of the cast. It's not only Elizabeth Olsen, but Jesse Plemons, Kristen Ritter, Lily Rabe. There's a lot of good actors in this, but it's sort of the more glamorous version of the story. Like Candy feels much more rooted in the 70s, whereas Love and Death is kind of like Elizabeth Olsen doesn't have a perm, which the real Candy Montgomery had. And the whole thing is Candy is this big woman in her church group. Everyone looks up to her and loves her, and she starts having an affair with one of her fellow choir members, and then eventually someone ends up dead.
There's another local angle to a cooking show. We've talked about this on a couple of different occasions, but on PBS's Chasing Carbon Zero, there's a local chef on that?
Yeah, so this is a Nova special. Nova is one of the science series on PBS, and Chasing Carbon Zero is sort of a more positive outlook on what one can do about climate change, because it's more solution based. It's like, okay, we've heard the warning signs and how everything's going to be terrible. Here's what we can do now to make things better in the future. And so this chef from Verona, he helped to design from the ground up the kitchen at Chatham University's Eden Hall campus. And that whole campus is very much, you know, trying to be environmentally sound. And what he did in the kitchen and what he's doing for other companies is really getting them to move from gas, which a lot of chefs like cooking on and home cooks, to an induction cooktop. And so when I was at the TV Critics Press Tour in Pasadena, California in January, he was part of the panel for this Chasing Carbon Zero show that airs Wednesday night. So I got a chance to talk to him and learn all about, you know, why he is a big believer in an induction cooktop over gas. It really does seem to be the smarter way to go. You go from a kitchen that's 130 degrees to 74 degrees for one thing. And then there's just the savings of using electricity as opposed to gas. So I wrote about him a little bit last week, and it's an interesting hour that's worth watching for his story as well as the others, but especially for local folks, knowing that there's someone local on this Nova special might get them to tune in.
Well, there's another sort of sports tie-in to a program, and that is Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney. Their Wrexham football club won that Welsh league. So they're like now graduated from, I think, the fourth league of English soccer to the third league of English soccer. Welcome to Wrexham. Isn't that the name of the show?
It is. And thanks to Ted Lasso, I know the term for that. They were promoted. Am I right about that?
Yes,
I think I'm
promoted.
Right about that. Yes. So welcome
this
to
is
what,
listen, Rob, this is one sports conversation when you and I are swimming in the same waters, because I don't know anything about soccer. No, I know it's relegated is bad and promoted is good.
Yes, relegated is bad. That's what happened season one, I think, of Ted Lasso. Anyway, yes, Welcome to Wrexham is their show on FX. And basically what they did is they got FX to pay for this show, which helped them then buy this soccer team in England. And I did not realize that they had gotten promoted, but I'm sure that will be the highlight of season two of the series. The first season aired last summer. I assume season two is coming later this summer, though a date has not yet been announced. But it's kind of a fun story to see these two guys getting into a sport in a big way, as they have with this series.
Lastly, by any chance, did you come across the Bill Maher sketch about the Cojones Award that he did a couple nights ago?
I'm afraid I did not.
Yeah, so on his program, he did a bit about the Cojones Award. And if you want to believe him, and I choose to on this, that he says, and I'm just wondering if in the scuttlebutt you might have known about this because you're tied in on the TV end of things and you know some back channels and all that, but he said that about a year and a half ago, he was asked to go to a very prominent Hollywood producer's home to moderate a discussion within the Hollywood glitterati or elite about what to do about cancel culture. And the premise being that a lot of these more left-leaning Hollywood executives were very concerned that the cancel culture that had permeated the right wing of America for so long to cancel other people's thoughts had now gone to the left side, and there was left wing cancel culture that was taking over the entertainment world. And what do we do about this? And Bill Maher said that the best thing to do would be to, in essence, like host a gag award show to sort of promote against cancel culture. And he said it got a lot of discussion, a lot of positive feedback. And in the way of all things Hollywood, no one did anything about it. And it just sort of died. So he decided to make his own bit about it. And I thought it was quite funny. And I thought he had some funny references to Ben Stiller and Cornell University and some of the other award recipients in his own presentation that stood up to cancel culture. But I was just wondering if you knew who the Hollywood producer might be that might have been throwing this together.
I don't, but if I had to guess, I feel like Netflix has been most in the jaws of this.
Yes, they were like referenced. Yes,
Hannah Gadsby on one side, and then you've got Dave Chappelle on the other side. So if I had to guess, my guess would be Ted Sarandos or somebody in that orbit with Netflix.
Yeah, and I believe that he got one of the awards. So maybe you're on to something there. So good guess out of you. All right, Rob, what do we have coming up on TV Talk and TV Q&A?
Let's see. So TV Talk, you know, once again, another week, 1,000 shows premiering. So I've got reviews of Love and Death, of Queen Charlotte, which is the Bridgerton spinoff prequel, which I actually like quite a bit better than Bridgerton. Then TV Q&A is someone who's being called a chief meteorologist on TV, truly the chief meteorologist for all of Pittsburgh.
Chief meteorologist for all of Pittsburgh. I didn't know such a thing existed.
It doesn't. It's just chest beating. It's just chest beating by one of the stations by labeling their chief Pittsburgh's chief.
How do you get elected to that? Is there a primary? Is there like
a
general population vote? I'm curious how one would achieve such a lofty title. Is there a knighting? Is there a dubbing, a ceremony like that?
I wish that would be.
Do you get to wear the crown of DiNardo? I don't know how that exactly.
Oh, that's what it should be. It should absolutely be the crown of DiNardo. 100%.
All right, Rob, we'll catch up again soon. All right.
All right. Sounds good.
We'll do it next week. And speaking of TV, we'll see how many hours, too many hours to count. Too many hours. Countless draft coverage this weekend coming up on speaking of ESPN and Disney, ABC. If there's anybody left at Disney, ABC, ESPN, they will televise the draft this weekend. Even if they don't, I'll write about it. You can catch up on it at Breakfast with Ben's.